We're so thankful for the presence of the Lord in our lives to help us walk through the good times and the bad times, and we share those things with one another, don't we? So today we're taking a little shift from where we've been the last couple of weeks. We've done 2 weeks on forgiveness, and we're going to do a third week on forgiveness. That'll be next week, forgiving from the heart. But this week, we're going to be doing something just a little different, and because it's Thanksgiving Sunday, we're going to be talking about giving thanks and thanksgiving. So I just thought that would be appropriate. Now, I hope that you all have one of these stick'em notes. Is there anybody who does not have a stick'em note? Oh, my wife in the front row. My goodness, can you imagine that? There you go, my dear. Anybody else? Just put your hand up, okay, because we'd like everybody to have one of these, and you'll know what to do with it before the end of the service. Okay, so you'll have to live with the suspense in the meantime. Just put your hand up, and you'll see a couple of our faithful servants there giving those out. I want to tell you a story as they're giving them out, okay, so just keep putting your hands up. It's a story I heard this week from World Vision, and not Vision Ministries Canada. I also serve a couple of days a week with Vision Ministries Canada, and we do have a couple of our people over there right now doing some training in Kenya, some training of leaders. Now, usually I'm on that trip. I didn't go this year, but we sent a couple of others in instead. But this is a story from World Vision, also in northern Kenya, in a part of the land that's called Turkana. And they're having an awful famine there right now. Crops just haven't grown. So you get a little stick of corn, which they call maize, and there's nothing on it. It's dead, basically. So crops were planted, but there was no rain, and they didn't grow. So this was a story from World Vision, and there was a donation of, they give out food, right? And they do a lot of other things, by the way. And we have somebody in our church here who works for World Vision. Amy Bennett has an important role with them. But anyway, this person was over there distributing food in northern Kenya in this drought area, and there was a mother present, a mother of six children who received food, and so they, you know, you'd get like a bag of rice, and you'd get a bag of something else, and a few things like this, and then you'd put it on your head and walk home. So the person who was the World Vision person walked home with this woman whose name was Miriam. And as they're walking, he's talking with her about her life and so on, and she was talking about how much she loves the Lord Jesus and how her love of God is just gives her so much strength, even in the midst of famine and running out of food. And she had enough food on her head for 2 weeks for her family of six kids. And when they got back to her little hut, there were a number of neighbors who were standing around her hut who had not been able to walk to the place to get the food where it was distributed. They're standing there, and as she came up, nobody said anything. She just opened up her bag and took a metal cup and started cupping out some of her stuff and putting it into bags of other people, of her neighbors. And we're here in this land, aren't we, of plenty. And when we think of Jesus himself saying, let your good deeds be shown unto other people so that they may glorify God in heaven, we think of ways that people in this world actually do this in very tangible ways, displaying the glory of God to their neighbors with generous hearts, because really a thankful heart is a generous heart, becomes a generous heart. God so loved the world that he gave. So there are so many examples of thankfulness spilling over into generous hearts. We want to look today at the radical benefits of giving thanks. So I'd say to you, happy Thanksgiving Day. We all probably have food and I like your clothing. I mean, you look nice today, handsome, pretty. Happy Thanksgiving Day. But we think there are many, many other people around the world who who are in more difficult situations. Are there reasons to be thankful here at Community Bible Church? It's a little disappointing that we haven't hired another pastor yet to help lead forward. But that search team, as we've heard, is just working diligently and hard and praying and asking for the Lord's guidance, and it's God's will that, you know, that they're looking for. But, you know, things are up and running this fall. There are life groups that are available. There's something for every age group in the church. And so there's lots to thank God for here. But I was thinking this week that there's not a lot in our culture that causes us to give thanks, right? In fact, every ad that you see is designed to counter Thanksgiving. Every ad that we have on whatever platform you may be watching, every ad is designed to create a discontent within us and an unthankfulness to say, I need that thing. I got to buy that thing. I've got to spend more money. I have hardly anything. I don't have a boat. I don't have a cottage. I don't have, you know, you can always think about the things that you don't have, right, rather than the things that we do have. And to create discontent is what most of the stuff in the world is intended to do. However, giving thanks is a subversive activity. Giving thanks to God subverts all of that stuff that's sent at us in the advertising of the world. As we give thanks, we find that a joy sort of comes up in our life. We give thanks to God. We start to focus on the stuff we have been given. And it creates a content rather than a discontent in our lives and a sense of joy and peace and thankfulness to the Lord. So it's a subversive activity because giving thanks subverts the lies that come to us through advertising in all these kinds of ways. So anyway, I'd like us to look at this whole idea of Thanksgiving today, and we're going to start with the Word of God. It's always the best place to start with, right? So here are some verses. Humanity as we were meant to be. Really? To be thankful in the Lord. This is how we were created to be. When we're discontent and anxious and all that other stuff, that's not God's will for us. That's not how He created us to be. And in this new creation that we are in Jesus, we begin to find a thankful heart. So here we go. Let the peace of Christ, Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. You might help me with this word as we go along, okay? And be thankful. So thankfulness is connected to the peace of Christ in our hearts. Let the message of Christ or the word of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So thankfulness is connected to having the word of Christ, the good news of Jesus, settle down in our lives and just be present there to guide us. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So thankfulness is tied into this whole business of, as we're living our lives, we're ambassadors for Jesus. We're doing things in His name. We're wanting to shine for Him out in our world. Thankfulness is attached to all these things. Humanity as we were meant to be, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So then just as you received Christ Jesus as your Lord, that would be by grace through faith, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Jesus, strengthened in our faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. This is part of God's will for us, thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15, 16, and 17. Rejoice always, pray continually. Does anybody know what the next verse is? Well, let me look it up then. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5. Oh, there it is right there. Let me read this to you. Be joyful always. That's it. Give thanks in all circumstances. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much. Here it is. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving, it's all over the place. John Calvin put it this way. In fact, if you read any Christian author, eventually they'll get around to the place where they say that thankfulness is at the heart of the Christian life. It's one of the practices that we do. So here's John Calvin. Thankfulness is the chief exercise of godliness. So if we want to be more like Jesus, one of our chief exercises is to give thanks to God. Thomas Merton said it this way, gratitude is the heart of the Christian life. Thankfulness to God expressing this. So these are Christian leaders who are telling us that thankfulness is at the heart of the Christian life. And you know what's an interesting thing? That so very often, psychology and sociology and other studies of human nature and so on discover things that are already in the Bible, that God has already revealed to us. So if you just, you know, go to TED Talks, thankfulness, or go to Google, thankfulness, you'll find tons of stuff, because everybody has discovered that thankfulness is one of the most powerful things we can do in our life. It lifts us up. But after all, that's God's revelation, right? It's just that people have discovered it a little later after he's already told us this. So anyway, we want to look today at an event in Jesus' life, this story, and I'll just read it to you, but you probably know this story. It's about 10 guys who had leprosy, and I'm not going to parse this out and exegete it for you. I'd like us to feel it today, okay? So here we go. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. So Jesus and his disciples are going along. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Leprosy. This disease, and we're going to pause here for a minute. This disease is, we now call it Hansen's disease. It's rod-shaped bacteria in the bloodstream of people that causes them to physically have pretty awful nerve damage. So you can't feel stuff. So a person could cut themselves and be bleeding. They don't even know it, because they can't feel it. And Dr. Paul Brand was a medical doctor in Africa for quite a number of years, and Philip Yancey helped him write a book, and it was the name of the book was Pain. Pain, like, ugh, pain, the gift nobody wants. And it's about the fact that when you have leprosy, you can't feel the pain, and you don't know what's happening in your body, and so you don't do anything about it. So what happens is there's nerve damage, then there are open sores, there are scaly scabs. Physically, Hansen's disease causes this loss of feeling and weak muscles and eventually paralysis and lots of infections. So that's physically. Now, socially, a person with leprosy was cast out. They weren't allowed to live with their families. So they were cast out of their town, and often they lived in groups outside the town in a cave or something like that, isolated. They couldn't be with their families. So here's a man or a woman, can't go home to their family, can't love on their kids, can't make love to their husband or wife, can't touch people. You got this disease that's communicable, and it's just awful, totally isolating. Spiritually, this person was not allowed to go to the synagogue to worship and not allowed to go to the temple either. In fact, most people would be standing there looking at a person with leprosy and saying, oh, they must have done something awfully bad because they're under the punishment of God. Look at that leprosy. So they'd be judged, socially outcast, spiritually outcast, and so on. So that's the situation that these people are in. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy, cried out to him, and they stood at a distance, because they had to distance, right? If you think social distancing during COVID was something, you think of this, you had to do this all the time. They called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests," because the priests were like gatekeepers back into the community, and if the person was actually healed, the priest would say, "Yeah, you're healed, you can go home." So as they went, they were cleansed. Now, this is a miracle, first class, right? They're going, they got all these sores, they got everything, and they're walking along, and I can feel something. My sores are healed up. What? This is amazing. And as they went, they were cleansed, healed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. So this guy is doubly rejected, right? Not only does he have leprosy and he's cast out, but he's also like kind of the enemy of the Jew. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews and despised and so on. So this guy's doubly rejected, but he's the only guy who comes back to say thank you to the Lord. So here we go. Jesus asked, we're not like all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." One guy decides to come back. All the others keep going forward. And you might think, well, why wouldn't you go if Jesus said, "Go and show yourself to the priest"? And so I'm healed. Go show myself to the priest. I can rush back. I can hug my family again. I can do all the stuff that I couldn't do all this while. You can see their excitement to get on with their lives. But only one guy comes back and gives thanks. And it occurred to me that sometimes those closest, so we're assuming that the other people were Jews and thinking that maybe they will, "Oh, well, God has healed me. That's wonderful. Go and show, you know, the priest." Sometimes those who are closest take things for granted, feel entitled. Well, of course God would heal me. Of course, let's get on with it. And sometimes those who are farthest away are most thankful and most open to the good news of Jesus and how wonderful it is. So I ask you a question. Would they all have been happy about their healing? Exactly. But only one stopped and gave thanks. So this brings us to this idea that thanksgiving is not the feeling of gratitude. It's the action of stopping everything and of giving thanks, of expressing gratitude, of saying so. It's not just the feeling, and oftentimes I found in my own life I had feelings of gratitude, but I didn't thank God for stuff. And in fact, I was telling Ruth that there have been seasons of my life where I've been a bit discontent and I've not been practicing thanksgiving, and I've been focusing more on the stuff that I don't have or things that aren't going well or things that are disappointing and so on, rather than on all that God has given, all that God has provided. And when I'm in that side over here of discontent and so on, I'm not a happy person, I'm not a joyful person, I'm not a thankful person. But when I So there was one time in my life when this was very, very real and raw in my life. And at that time, as I was doing my regular Bible reading, I came across all these passages that were talking about giving thanks, giving thanks, giving thanks. And I thought, you know, maybe this is something I need to do. And I got a diary, and as I started to write these things in every day, things that I'm thankful for, my heart began to lift. I was encouraged in the Lord. There's a personal testimony for you today. Thanksgiving is not the feeling of gratitude, but it's the action of giving thanks, of stopping everything and saying thank you. So, you know, thanksgiving is constantly modeled in God's people. I'm not going to read all these for you, but I'm going to put them up here, and you might just write them down as we're going now, and I'm going to ask you to check these out this week. If you would say, "I need to increase my thanksgiving to the Lord," these would be good passages to look at. So Leviticus 7 is about a thank offering. When a person would say, I want to give thanks to God, what do I do? And the priest would say, okay, you slaughter a lamb, you roast it up, you barbecue it, you bring some to the priest, and then you eat some and have a feast, and you give it to the poor people around you. And God loved the thank offering. He loved it. 1 Chronicles 16, David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, and he designated special people to go ahead of the big procession to give thanks to God, to sing and make melody to the Lord. And that was pleasing to God. He wanted people to give thanks. That was their job. 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 14. Paul remembers, you know, Saul who became Paul? Saul remembers some rotten, awful things that he did, persecuting Christians before, particularly being responsible for killing the first martyr, whose name was Stephen. Saul was the guy who was standing there responsible for stoning this guy to death. And as he's thinking about this, you could think, oh, he could just be mourning over his, you know, his sins and so on. You know what he does? Instead, he gives thanks to God for his grace and for his forgiveness. He doesn't live in the mourning and the guilt of the past. He gives thanks to God for the grace and the forgiveness that he has. And actually, this week in our elders' meeting, we did a little study on Thanksgiving, and at the end I said, so what are you thankful for? And one guy said, I'm not sure exactly how this happened, and I don't know why God did it, but he saved me. I was in darkness, and he brought me into light, and that's what I am thankful for. God has changed my life. That's like what Paul was saying here. God's changed. I was going another way, and man, oh, thank the Lord. Daniel 6:10, I was mentioned earlier this morning, but Daniel was, he was up there in the government of a foreign country, and there were guys who saw how prominent he was. They wanted to bring him down, so they double-crossed him. And that very evening, he knew he was going to be going to the lions, thrown in a den of lions, and they were hungry, and he knew they were going to eat him unless God did something big. What the scripture says is that Daniel went home, and he knelt down, and he gave thanks. Would you be giving thanks if you knew you were going to the lions that night? But he did. He gave thanks, and then what it says is this. Daniel 6:10, he gave thanks just as he had done before. It's saying that Daniel was in the habit of giving thanks day after day after day after day. And when everything went south, he still continued to give thanks because that was his habit. So I want to ask you, how are you? Are you a thankful person? Or are you kind of a complainer? I've been both. I am sometimes both at different times. It's probably not funny, but I am. I'm just saying it's how we are. But suppose one of your best friends, you asked them and you said, am I a thankful person, or am I sort of kind of a complainer or seeing all the problems and everything? What would your best friend say to you? And how do you want to be? Because there are radical benefits of giving thanks. I'm not going to read these passages either, but I'd ask you to just write them down. Ephesians 5 is talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, be wise. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not filled up with wine, wherein there's excess, drunkenness, debauchery, but be filled up with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So how we talk to one another, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, that's how we talk to the Lord in worship, giving thanks to God the Father in all circumstances through the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks is connected to the filling up of the Holy Spirit. And as you think about this, I'm assuming you're going to check this out and read this passage. As a follow-up, your homework, and so on. Think about it. Is giving thanks, is this a cause of being filled up with the Holy Spirit? Or is this a result of being filled up with the Holy Spirit? So there are actually, if you were to read commentaries on this passage, you'd see that some people say it's a cause, and other people say it's a result, and other people say, well, we can't define it. I think it's both. And I think it's both. That you think about this. When you're filled up with the Holy Spirit and fully influenced with God's Holy Spirit, don't you just naturally give thanks for things? I mean, it's part of the flowing out of who we are as we give thanks. But on the other hand, if you're not feeling so filled up with the Holy Spirit today, if I start to give thanks in that circumstance, what do you think happens? I open myself up for more of the filling of the Holy Spirit as I direct my thoughts instead of to the stuff that I don't have and the things that are going wrong. I shift over here and I say, oh, Lord, there's so much to thank you for. And as I give thanks, I'm filled up more with the Holy Spirit. That's the first benefit. You know, there are a bunch more I just chose for. Thanksgiving is the key to the peace of God over anxiety. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with, do you know it? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which is better than all understanding, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So thanksgiving is a key to the peace of God over anxiety. And often in the midst of anxiety, if we start to give thanks to God, we're lifted up. Thirdly, thanksgiving is clearly the will of God for you and me. And we read this before, right? That praying continually and so on, giving thanks to God in all circumstances. For this is the will of God for you. And thanksgiving raises us to a higher level of relationship. So this is where I'm going to go high tech on you right here. Okay? This is paper. Some of you I know don't know even how to use paper or pens, but I'm just joking about you millennials, okay? Right? Everything's on your phone. So here, this is a piece of paper. And when thinking of relationship and giving of gifts and so on, you have the giver, you have the gift, and you have the receiver. You with me? Okay? So the giver has a gift, gives the gift to the receiver, and that's a really nice thing, right? It's a linear process. Can you see this, by the way? Okay. So can you see this over here? Okay. So it's a linear process, but you know what? Giving, there's no thanks here yet, right? But when the receiver gives thanks, the gift comes back to the receiver. Sorry, to the giver. The giver becomes the receiver, right? So it's not a linear process. It's meant to be a circular process that the giver gives the gift, the receiver receives the gift, and gives thanks back to the giver. It completes the circle, which is how it was meant to be. And this, again, if you think about this, this is like God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, this is the receiving of the gift, will never perish but will have eternal life. Jesus has done this for us, and so we give thanks to him, and it completes this circle of relationship. But what I think is really true here is that thanksgiving is not, it doesn't just complete the circle, it's not just a circle, it's actually a spiral. In other words, when we give thanks, it takes the whole relationship and it lifts us to a new level. And as we give thanks again, it raises us up to a higher level once again. So you think of a mother and a little baby in a crib, and the mother's over there and coo, 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 how are you today? And the little baby smiles, and the mother's all joyful because the smile of the child is part of the thanksgiving back to the mother. Then the mother picks up the child and hugs the child and kisses the child. The whole relationship has moved to a closer, more intimate level, right? You think about a single person looking at a friend over here and saying, oh man, this friend is really discouraged. And so I said, I'm meeting you at Tim Hortons at 4 o'clock. Be there. I want to hear from you. So I see you're going through a tough time. So you sit down at 4 o'clock at Timmy's and you just listen, 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 listen. The person pours out their heart. You're the one who bought the coffee or the hot chocolate or whatever it is. And so when you're finished, you actually give the person a $10 gift certificate to Timmy's or maybe something that's more healthy than Timmy's. But you just spend time together. And when you're finished listening to this person pour out their heart and the person says to you, thanks so much. This means a lot. Well, can I pray for you then? And you pray for the person. They say, you know what? This means so much to me. That's not just on the same level as it was before. The relationship is at a higher level. A spiral has happened. Something bigger and greater has happened. And it's exactly the same way in a marriage where we start to take one another for granted, where we don't say thanks like we used to, we don't show appreciation like we used to, but where we say, wow, you know, I'm grateful. God, I'm grateful for my wife or for my husband. Neither one of us is perfect, right? We're not perfect. But we start to say thanks. We start to express gratitude. Maybe we bring a gift or we spend some special time together or we listen or whatever it is. It's not just a circular thing. It raises us to another level of relationship with one another, which is God's will for us. So, how do we do this? Brings us to the last thing. And this is the practical part of it that I would propose that we take some time each day that we write down what we're thankful for under these four categories. Material blessings, because we all have material things, right? You know that in Canada, is there anybody here? Do you guys have a car? How'd you get here today? Do you know that if you have a car, one car, you are in the top 18% of wealthy people in the world? I Googled it this week, and apparently only 18% of the people in the world have a car. I bet we all do. We have two. We have a house. When you think of the material blessings that we have here, couldn't we start to jot a lot of those down? What about relational blessings? Is there anybody who actually likes you a little bit? Is there anybody, if you had a need, you say you could call them up and say, look, I'm stuck on the highway over here. And they say, oh, call CAA. No, they wouldn't say that. They say, look, I'll be there in a minute. Is there anybody who cares for you like that, who's there for you? Relational blessings, we write their name down. Spiritual blessings, oh my, and here's where we can start. Lord Jesus, you've saved me. I belong to you. You gave your life for me. Just write it down. Thank you for your love that rescued me out of darkness and brought me into light. You've given me your Holy Spirit to start to work in my life and start to fix me a little bit. Start to make me more like Jesus. I'm not there yet, but thank you, Lord Jesus, for this. You've actually given me some spiritual gifts where I can serve other people and love other people and serve in the church and serve in the community. And Jesus, thank you for all that you've done for me. And then, of course, it's the huge bonus of heaven. When we die, we get to go to heaven and be with the Lord forever and ever. This gift of eternal life, just pour it out to the Lord. And then answered prayers. Just to write down wherever we see answered prayers. It's really encouraging to our faith when we do this kind of thing. So I'd suggest we take a time of day to do this, and as a discipline, a practice in the spiritual life, just write them down and let the Lord encourage our hearts. And so I'm asking you now, what are you thankful for today? And that's why you have a sticky note. Okay. So I hope there's a pencil or pen or something near you. There might be one in the pew behind you. But take a sticky note and just now write down something. What are you thankful for? And we're actually going to, just before you do it, we're going to put them all on a wall just behind us here, right behind the sound booth is a wall out there, and we're going to stick them on the wall so that I hope we have a whole bunch of these stick 'em notes on the wall saying, these are things we're thankful for. Thank you, Lord. Some of you got two of these on the way in, and if you want more, there are more at the back as you go. But write down something that you're thankful for, and let's publicize it. Thank you, God. Thanksgiving Day. This is what I'm thankful for. So write that down, if you would, and then we'll post it on the wall on the way out. And as we do this, as you're thinking about this, and what to write down and so on, I want to pray. All right? Heavenly Father, great creator of the whole universe, almighty God, most high, you are the higher power, but you are just not a power. You are the personal, living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, great God of the universe, creator of all things, we honor you, we worship you today. On this Thanksgiving Day, we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, for this country that we live in. Not perfect, we know that, but we have food and shelter and clothing and transportation and so many opportunities. And we thank you, Lord, for all of your material blessings to us. We thank you for the relational blessings that we have. People here in this church who love us and would do anything for us, who care for us. We thank you. We thank you for our families, Lord, also not perfect, just like the church is not perfect. But we thank you for those people who love us and care for us. Thank you for the many people in this church who serve in a variety of ways, from making the coffee to greeting to doing all kinds of things, Lord, to teaching our kids, our children, our junior highs, our high schoolers, who organize things for seniors. Thank you, Lord, for every one of these people, single and married, all made in your image, so precious to you and precious to us. And thank you, Lord, for the spiritual riches we have in Jesus Christ. How amazing you are, Lord Jesus. You've adopted us into your family. We weren't in there. We didn't deserve it. You adopted us into your family by your grace. You have chosen us to be your people. You've given us the gift of salvation and eternal life. We belong to you forever. We belong to you in life and in death, body, soul, and spirit. And no one can snatch us out of your hands. Jesus, you've given us brothers and sisters in the family. You've given us gifts to serve one another. You're working on our character, and we thank you for this. And Lord God Almighty, as you have worked in the past and shown your mighty hand, we give you thanks for all those things. But as we look to the future, we also come with expectancy, and we give you thanks for what you are doing and what you will do in the future, because you are absolutely faithful, even as we've sung today. Great is your faithfulness. We anticipate the powerful working of your Holy Spirit in our midst here, in our community around us, Lord. We stand in a long line of women and men who have called out to you for your powerful working, and you have answered. And we thank you that you see us gathered here this morning in this sacred moment, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and your ears are attentive to our prayers. You see us, and you listen to us now, Lord, even as we give thanks to you. We thank you for your faithfulness. And now we pray that you will cultivate within us a greater thankfulness to you, a heart of thankfulness in all situations, and a new level of faith, a higher level of relationship with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Draw us close, we pray, Lord Jesus. We see you with your arms wide open saying, come unto me, come unto me. And as we go from this place, help us to express these hearts full of thanksgiving by words and deeds, to be filled up with your Holy Spirit, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give you our thanks today, Lord Jesus. You are wonderful. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Now, let us sing together, and then we'll worship the Lord, and then we'll go out and we'll post our post-it notes on that back wall out there, okay? Thank you. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Our closing song is called My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. Our hearts are like a cup of water. If we have a cup of water and we keep filling it with water, it's going to overflow. That's like our hearts, right? And so when they overflow with thankfulness, that goes up to the Lord, and it also goes to other people. So let's make that our prayer for our last song. Please stand.